Lorraine, my density has brought me to you.
What?
Oh, what I meant to say was...
Wait a minute, don't I know you from somewhere?
Yes, yes, I'm George, George McFly. I'm your density. I mean, your destiny.
Can you think of your dating years, or maybe you're currently dating, and when you just get tongue-tied, you're going to meet somebody that you're interested in, and you just get tongue-tied like George McFly. And for those of you who are old enough, that's from Back to the Future, a wonderful movie. It's ageless. It's worth watching the whole series. I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner, and my show is The Rational Basis of Happiness, and it's an opportunity for you to call up and ask any questions that you would ask a psychologist or a therapist. I'm a clinical psychologist. And although it's not therapy, it's an opportunity to maybe get a little more direction, maybe get some ideas you hadn't thought of before, or look at it, your situation from a different angle. And my number's toll-free, 1-877-DR-KENNER. We also have a website, drkenner.com, drkenner.com, where there are books I recommend, including one I wrote with Dr. Ed Locke on romance, and also articles I've written, and you can always listen to a podcast of the show. And right now I want to welcome Jerry. Jerry, you've been through a tough time, huh?
Yeah, I have. I didn't know you were on every day, because I only get it once a week.
Oh, it is only once a week.
Oh.
Yeah,
okay.
You are correct.
Because we know we get it on Sunday night on WVMT.
Oh, okay. It's played, it's syndicated, so it's around the country. So, Jerry, tell me what's going on in your life. I know you've been through some pretty, your wife died, right?
My wife passed away 3 years ago. She had myasthenia gravis. You ever heard of it?
Yes, I have, but I couldn't tell you exactly what it is. A muscle weakness?
Yeah.
Heart.
And she had it in her breathing, but that's not what caused her to die.
Yeah.
What happened was she had pneumonia twice.
Okay.
And the first time she had it, she went into a hospital in Washington, D.C., because that's where we were living in the Washington, D.C. area for over 30 years. And the prednisone she was on caused her to have ulcers.
So it's complications.
Yeah. So she got better, and then she got was rehabbing at home, and then got pneumonia again, and I had to 911 her to a hospital.
Oh.
Then she came back home, and she got she was on oxygen a little bit, and she could take it off when she wanted to.
Yeah.
And then one Saturday morning, she just said she thought she was having a myasthenia attack.
Yeah.
And I said, "Are you breathing all right?" She said, "Yeah." She asked me to give her water. I gave her water, and she just collapsed and died.
Oh, my God. So that's a major trauma that you've been through.
Yeah.
And you were married for 30 years, you said.
40 years.
Oh, 40 total.
Yeah.
And so your question is that is it a son or a daughter won't talk to you?
The son that lives in, he's a rabbi.
Okay.
He lives in Teaneck, New Jersey, and he hasn't talked to me.
What do you know about that? Why do you think that's the case?
I don't know. The only thing I know is that... he had cancer also.
Yeah.
A few months before she got sick. And he tried getting power of attorney from her, and I have no idea why. And she had no idea why, and she said no, and hasn't talked to me.
Okay, so you have no clue at all. Are there any other siblings? Do you have any other children?
No.
So it's just your son who is a mystery to you and has been for 3 years.
Yeah.
And no clues at all from relatives or anybody,
no.
Friends?
No, no. My in-law, I'm in Montreal, as you know, and my in-laws don't talk to me either, and my son doesn't talk to them either.
Okay, and I'm assuming you made some effort to reach out to both your in-laws and your son?
Yep.
Okay, so you're left with a major trauma, not just your wife suddenly dying in front of you.
Nope.
And but what goes through your mind? Because here's the problem, and I'll pause to ask you that in a second again. Here's the problem. When I don't know, when I can't make sense of my world in two major areas, why did the in-laws cut me off? Here I've gone through this awful trauma, and my son's cut me off too, and I don't know why. When you've gone through a trauma like that, your own mind goes searching. Why might they have cut me off? What is your mind feeding you?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Just no idea. So there's no big issue going on, like I had affairs or
I ran
away with money, or I was an alcoholic or something like that. So if that's the case, what do you know about them that might help shed some light on it?
Idea.
You still don't. So how are you dealing with it then?
Not dealing very well, and not only that, I have other problems, like when the movers moved me, they didn't fulfill their contract, they double charged me, and I can't find an attorney in Virginia to help me out, and my place is a mess.
Okay, so it's been really, really hard for you to move on in your life.
Right.
So here's a piece of advice that I actually came from a book, and that's that you don't. When you have a trauma like the one you've been through with your wife, mm-hmm. you can look at it as the end of a chapter, and now you're starting a new chapter in your life.
Right.
And you're the one that is the author of this new chapter. And you want to make it your life. You can't do anything about choices that are outside your control, other people's behavior. Whatever is going on with them, if there's something they could explain to you, it would be fabulous, because even if you didn't like it or agree with it, at least you could evaluate it and make sense with it. When people do what's called an emotional cutoff, just that stonewalling, you can't get through to them, they won't speak to you, typically our own minds just go hunting. You're saying you're not doing that. You have no, I'm sure you're doing it a bit, but you have no idea when you can't, you don't come up with anything obvious like, oh yeah, I was an alcoholic my whole life and my son's angry with me, or I ran off with the money, or I, you know, was a womanizer. And, you know, if there's nothing obvious like that, then what can you do but look at it as three deaths or four deaths? It's the death of your relationship with your son, not the death of your son, but the death of your relationship with your son, because you can't do anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's the death of your relationship with your in-laws. What can you do? I mean, you can reach out only so much, and you can't force their minds. I mean, you can reach out assertively. There are ways to do that, and you don't have to throw in the towel right away. You know, you can make a few more efforts. But if you could leave with one point, it would be, whose life is it now? It's your life. And it's your happiness, and it's your values. It's up to you to design what can bring you pleasure now, whether it's in, and I'm going to name four areas, whether it's in your work. Are you working now?
No, I'm retired.
Okay, so if it's in your purpose, you want to find a focused purpose, do you have hobbies or anything?
No.
Okay, that would be number one. In my book, that if I were in your situation, I would spend my time, well, I can't do anything about the son and the in-laws. I would spend my time focused on, what have I always wanted to do? What would I enjoy? Do I want to do a hobby that I've never had an opportunity to do? Would I want to, I don't know, you don't want to wrap yourself around someone who's not here anymore, or people who are unavailable. You want to liberate your mind to move on, and that takes some time. Have you gotten counseling at all?
No.
Okay, I would highly recommend getting a very good cognitive therapist, because I'll teach you thinking skills that might help you recapture a feeling for your own life and a motivation to move on, move past this chapter, or put this book down and only look back occasionally, put it on a shelf so you can move on. But that takes a lot of thinking work on your part. So, you know, I wish I had more time. The best advice is for you to grasp that it is your life and you can't control other people's actions. And I wish you the best with this, Jerry.
Thank you very much.
Oh, you're very welcome. Take care.
Thank you.
I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner on the Rational Basis of Happiness, toll-free 1-877-DRKENNER.
Here's an excerpt from The Selfish Path to Romance by Dr. Ellen Kenner.
Some conflict is inevitable in all relationships. Even though you may be similar to your partner in many fundamental respects, inevitably there will be differences in beliefs, values, interests, preferences, tastes, habits, attitudes, and personality traits. Partners will differ in communication skills and styles and in habitual methods of thinking. Sometimes differences are a source of interest and excitement. For example, an introverted partner may admire how an extroverted mate is so at ease in social situations. Or one's partner's interests stimulate the development of similar interests in the other. And many differences that conflict with one's own preferences can be ignored if they are not important enough to make an issue of.
You can download Chapter 1 for free at drkenner.com, and you can buy the book at amazon.com.